thank you so much for the invitation to discover that someday could be fun. It's like, so the goal is the following. We'll try to explain a little bit what is dominated splitting and try to show what is the difference between dominated splitting and partially hyperbolicity. I will try to explain some dynamical context where the dominated splitting appear, how naturally appear in this dynamical context, and some result that helps to extract information from the dominated splitting. Okay? So let me start with the definition of dominated splitting. So you have a map, at least one, acting on a manifold and a compact manifold. And you have a set, which is compact and invariant. And it says that the set lambda has dominated splitting. It's possible to decompose the tangent bundle over the set in two complementary directions. Each of these directions is invariant by the map. And what holds is the following relation. It's the following that if you take the derivative along forward iterates, along the direction here, you multiply the derivative by negative iterates on this point. This is smaller for some positive context C, lambda smaller than 1, so you have this relation. Meaning that basically if you are in dimension 2, you want to put it, you have two directions, E and F. This direction E not necessarily contract, the direction F not necessarily span, and only the relation that you have is the relation between these two directions. Dimension 2, it's much easier to write it down, means the following. And in general, in dimension 2, sometimes dominated splitting is some kind of projective hyperbolicity. If you take any vector which is not in the E direction and you keep iterating by the map, this vector will converge to the F direction. Okay? So, in other words, if you consider a cone field, so there is a cone field along the F direction, and what happens with the cone field goes inside. But you don't have any property about expansion of the cone or contraction of the complementary cone, okay? So, of course, if you have a hyperbolic map, the hyperbolic splitting is a dominated splitting. If you have partially hyperbolic splitting, let's put it in this way. So you have partially hyperbolic splitting, so they verify a dominated relation. But the converse is totally false, so because you don't necessarily have any rate of contraction in any of, rate of contraction or expansion in any of these directions. Okay? So this is the definition of dominated splitting. And let's try to see some examples that shows that dominated splitting is different to hyperbolicity and also to partially hyperbolicity. The first easy example is to consider a fixed point. A fixed point, a subwoofer fixed point, but in this direction you have eigen value equal to 1, and this direction will have eigen value equal to 1/2. So in this case, of course, if you consider this direction divided by this, this is smaller than a constant smaller than 1, exactly in this case 1/2, and this fixed point is not hyperbolic. A little bit more general example is to consider in dimension 2 a closed curve. You have a closed curve invariant by the map. You can suppose also that the dynamic along the curve is conjugate to an irrational rotation. And this curve is inside an annulus, and the annulus contracts. So you have an annulus here, and the annulus is sent inside, and with the property that for any point in the curve, you have a normal deration, a orthogonal deration to the deration of the dynamic, which is contracting. So you have this annulus going inside with some rate of contraction, and the splitting that you will see is something like this. One deration that is stable, which is the deration which is normal to the curve, and one deration which is half derivative equal to 1. And the dynamic inside the curve is an irrational rotation. So in this case, you have a transitive set inside the curve having dominated splitting, and you don't have hyperbolicity. So in general, this curve is an invariant curve which is normally hyperbolic. Okay? So in this case, of course, this example are extremely not generic. It's extremely easy to destroy this example by perturbation. So this is not some kind of robust example. So you want to build example of system that has dominated splitting and they are not hyperbolic or partial hyperbolic in a robust way, mean that you perturb, you will remain with the dominated splitting, but this splitting does not become hyperbolic. So you have to go to higher dimension. And let's start with an example, let's try to build this example at least in dimension 3, some kind of example in dimension 3. Well, in general, if you go to dimension 4, you consider the four-dimensional torus, and there are open set of CR diffeomorphisms there with the following property. If F belongs to here, then F is transitive on T4, meaning that there is a dense orbit on T4 for the map F. So there is this X, so you consider the positive orbit. This is equal to T4. Okay? Moreover, so this is an open set. The diffeomorphism has a splitting, dominated splitting on T4. This deration is two-dimensional, and this deration is also two-dimensional. There is a dominated relation like this, and this deration is not contractive, this deration is not expanded, and it's not possible to decompose the deration E in two continuous subbundles, and it's not possible to decompose the deration F in two continuous subbundles. So in this case, will be a truly dominated splitting case, which is not hyperbolic and is not partially hyperbolic, because if it's partially hyperbolic, means, so it's not possible to find in E or F some expanding direction or contracting direction. So the way to build this kind of example, this example were introduced by Bonatti and Viana, and the basic idea, let's start to do it in dimension 3, which is much easier. Let me explain it. It's in the following way. You start with a hyperbolic system. So, roughly speaking, you take an anisotropic system. With one direction of contraction and two direction of expansion. This is one dimensional. Basically, like this, or splitting like this. You take a fixed point and it's performed a DA argument, derived of anisotropy, in the direction to bifurcate this point in 3 points, having different index, stable index. And this derived of anisotropy is in dimension 3. It is proved that remain transitive in the whole T3. So this system remains transitive in the whole T3. So the central deration, this weak and stable deration, now is not hyperbolic, neither contracting nor expansive, because in this point it's contracting and this point is expanding. So it's impossible to distinguish which is the behavior. And the set is transitive, so the dynamic is transit in the whole manifold, so now you have a splitting like this. So this is a partial hyperbolic situation. So if you want to get a dominated splitting, you want to destroy the central deration first. The first idea is try to mix up these two derivations. And the way to do that is basically the following. We take another periodic point somewhere, which is with two derivations of expansion, and it is performed some kind of surgery in a way to replace there this point by a point with a complex eigenvalue. So a two derivation of expansion. And now, so this two derivation, this two derivation, and the system remain transitive. You have the Jordan remain transitive. And then this two derivation I totally mix up around nearby this point. So here, of course, you have this splitting, but when you have an orbit where it's going close to there, the two derivation I totally mix up. And then you have a splitting of this way. This derivation is not hyperbolic. It's not hyperbolic because here it cannot be, again, in here you contract and they are expanded, it's a two dimension. And it's not this, and they have not two, not possible to decompose this band in two derivation because you have this situation here. If you want to do the same dimension 4, you start with an also in dimension 4, T4. With two hyperbolic contracted derivation and two expanding derivation, and then you perform the same kind of argument, mixing up these two derivation, and then the same argument mixing up these two derivation. Well, there is a work to be done in the derivation to show that the system remains transitive and any C1 perturbation remains transitive in the Hund manifold. Okay? So, but this is basically the idea. So there you have an open class of system that have this property of dominated splitting that is not hyperbolic and not partially hyperbolic. And this is, in some sense, a very typical situation because it's possible to prove the following. Suppose that you have a map, the compact manifold, C1 map, and it has the property that is C1 robust transitive. What does it mean? Means that F is transitive on the Hund manifold and any C1 perturbation remains transitive in the Hund manifold. Okay? Then it's possible to prove that there is the composition in the tangent bundle in two complementary derivations such that this relation has a dominated splitting relation, and the only property that is possible to show that this contract volume and this expanded volume. Only this. So, and there is no possible to go further than this because in particular you have this kind of example. Well, since then, robust transitivity implies dominated splitting. DS means dominated splitting. Of course, there is not a complete theory related to this, and this is one of open, major open questions that you have, or basic open question that you have dominated splitting, which is the following. Suppose that you have dominated splitting and you have transitivity. Does this imply robust transitivity? So we know, for instance, you have a hyperbolic system which is transitive, this implies robust transitivity. Any perturbation will remain transitive. In the class of dominated splitting, this is false. Dominated splitting plus transitivity does not imply C1 robust transitivity. It's possible to believe even in the case of partial hyperbolicity is false. It's just to consider an skewed product of an anisotropy with rational rotation. So this will not be robust transitive. But you can try to see on this count is false. Possible to do in the maybe this is true generically, and maybe here there is some condition that we don't know which is the condition that implies the converse of this. This kind of result, they have more general statements in different contexts, in the context of robust ergodicity, if you consider volume preserving system, in the context of symplectic map, etc., and also in the context of vector field. Well, but I don't want to keep going in this direction. So, okay, so let's see another context where naturally appear dominated splitting, okay? So this is the first one. The second context I would like to consider is the context of Gaussian thermostat thousand thermostats. Well, manifolds. And the analysis that I will present is due to Waskowski. Basically the following. What is a Gaussian thermostat? You take a mechanical Hamiltonian system, the support H-U-N, suppose, typically like this, and a potential. So you consider, so this is the Hamiltonian vector field associated with, and then you introduce a vector field E acting here on the manifold. And then this system is modified in the following direction. Okay? So this kind of the system, the Gaussian thermostat, this is what this kind of model was proposed by Galabotti and by Ruel to consider mechanical system out of equilibrium. So which is a property when it's introduced this thermostatic component is basically is like the energy levels are preserved. So all the energy levels are preserved. But the dynamic inside the energy level could change dramatically. And in fact, there is an example that shows clearly that no symplectic structure is preserved by this kind of system. To do that, let's consider the flag torus. So you have coordinates 1, typical coordinate 2. Consider the end flag torus. You take like this vector of the system. And you take E equal to A0. And you take A maybe irrational. And then you perform the same kind of construction, and what happened that the system became, you are taking this energy level, it became, it's easy to check it, and it's possible to integrate this equation, and the trajectory of the system now they are inside on the translation of this kind of curve. And the model, well, so working a little bit on this, what happened, that if you have the unitarian Taschen bundle, the three, then inside the unitarian Taschen bundle, it will appear two torus, two-dimensional torus. These torus are normally hyperbolic. So you have a torus which is normally hyperbolic, means that inside the torus is two-dimensional, there is a complementary direction that is contractive, and the dynamic inside the torus here is quasi-periodic. This other torus, this is an attractor, this is a repeller, the dynamic here is quasi-periodic in the opposite direction, and here is a repeller, and you go from the repeller to the attractor. Okay, so this is what happened in T3, when you have this kind of system. And so will appear naturally the case of dominated splitting. So it will appear some kind, instead to have a curve, here you have a torus, the dynamic in the curve in this torus is quasi-periodic, and this is, you have one attractor that has dominated splitting, and one repeller that has dominated splitting. So in particular, this shows that not simply the structure is preserved, but naturally appear also the concept of dominated splitting there in the dynamic of the system. What the work of Waskowski shows that the right way to see this is to consider what is called the Rayle manifold. So let's do in general first. You take a manifold with a Riemannian structure, a Riemannian manifold, and you take the vector field E, and then you can build the same kind of perturbation in general. So this is classical. Well, this is exactly the connection. This is the Levi-Civita connection. And here you take, well, let's put in general. Basically like this, okay? So, what is the Weyl manifold? The Weyl manifold is the following. It's basically done using or constructing a new connection related to this vector field. You take a vector field, let's call it tilt, and then you create a new, you have the connection, you create a new connection done on the following way. So you have the old one, and then you subtract this. So they have, well, this is the Levi-Civita connection, then you have a new connection, and then what is done, so it's considering the geodesic related to this new connection, and then you can consider the geodesic flow. And in this context, then you have a flow acting on the unitarian, in the tangent unitarian bundle. And he showed that, of course, this is classical. Then you have the notion of, you have a tensor curvature, and related to the tensor curvature, it's possible to introduce the notion of sectional curvature. And in fact, the new sectional curvature can be related to the old one. So you have a plane generated by these two vector fields. It's related on this one, in this way. Another diversion on the plane of this. Well, this is the orthogonal component. This is the norm, no? This is the orthogonal component, component of the vector E in the plane P, pi. And what Kochi showed that if this new curvature is negative, then this flow has dominated splitting. So they have the result, the classical result that relates curvature with the hyperbolicity. Here appear in the following context. Appear again the context of a metal splitting. So if the sectional curvature is negative everywhere, then the unitarian flow has the property that have dominated splitting, EF. And here, this is decay of volume, exponential decay of volume. And here you have exponential growth of volume. Okay? But it's not possible to go further than this. In dimension 2, if you are in dimension 2, this necessarily will imply hyperbolicity. But it's fall in dimension, in dimension larger than 2. And in fact, it is unknown, and this is one question that Kochi posed, is it possible to construct a system which is, with the structure is typically dominated splitting without the chance to decompose this direction in hyperbolic direction or a partial hyperbolic direction, the same with this. Okay? So this is one question. So, that exist examples of the type that we were building before, that they only have dominated splitting without no partial hyperbolicity. Okay. Another context that the notion of dominated splitting appear It's more like a, it's more like a, an exercise, and it's more like a, how do you say, more like a tool for kids, you know, it's like a something to play. It's the following: you consider what we call slapped billiards, or typically pinball billiards. So if you play pinball, you understand immediately. Pinball billiard is the following. You have, what happened in the pinball machine? You have a pinball machine, every time that you hit one of the wall gives a hit to the ball. So you have the wall, and so the wall is, so it's introducing energy to the system. So what happens when you have a ball that hits the wall gives an impulse to the ball. So it's like a, it's acting when the wall is hit. So typically it will be reflected with this angle theta. It will reflect it to minus theta related to the normal. But here you are introducing, you are adding a vector in the normal. So what happened? Then you are reflected to a small angle, lambda theta. Okay? So this is typically what happened in this pinball machine. Okay, what happened when you have this kind of pinball machine? So what you, basically what it's saying here is the reflection law is changed. And the reflection law is changed basically in the following way. So if you have theta going to minus theta, you have theta going to minus lambda theta with lambda smaller than 1. Okay? Well, the systems, in other words, you have some kind of contraction in angles. So the fact that you're introducing energy with this machinery, like this pinball, so they have contraction in the angle. And what happens with this contraction in the angle, sometimes the dynamic will show attractors. So attractor will appear naturally. In fact, if you take the most simple billiard, the circular billiard, and you have this situation, all the dynamic converts to dynamic in the normal. So just the dynamic in the normal. So you put the phase space of this billiard, you will have a circle, which is exactly going in this way, and everything is attracted to the circle. So again, it appears a normally hyperbolic curve. So there are attractors that appear naturally. So the extreme case, the extremal case, is the one that you have only the dynamic of the normal, means that when you take any billiard, and when any ball is hit, so it's again it's coming back along the normal direction. So only the dynamic of the normal directions. Okay? So in this case, clearly one-dimensional. They're saying that you get a strong impulse, and your ball came back in the direction of the normal. When something like this is happening, well, the dynamic is one-dimensional. It's most easy situation. For instance, you are considering an equilateral triangle, just a polygonal billiard, as you are considering the dynamic of the normal. So this is a one-dimensional dynamic, which is expansive. So basically, why is it expansive? Because, well, these three sides have the same length, and so this is a size of one length, and it's covering two. So you have this kind of expansion. So this is the extremal situation, and of course, so you will have some kind of one-dimensional dynamic, which is expanding in this situation. Easy to draw something like this. This is the parametrization of the polygonal. And then in the first, so this is 1, 2, 3, which means the first, the second, and the third. And the first one is covering the second and the third in the following way. The second is covering the first and the third, and they are discovering like this. You have an expanding dynamic. So instead you consider this is the situation that where your slap is infinite, so it's strong, so everything is coming back to normal, but you have something that is reduced. So what happened, then you will have some kind of hyperbolic attractor. So we have a one dimension, so an attractor with two dimensional with one direction of expansion and one direction of contraction. Okay? So what is different in a situation like this, where here is normally hyperbolic and here is hyperbolic. And in fact, it is to prove that is the curvature here is the curvature considering the boundary, the Riemannian curvature, classical curvature, smaller than or equal than zero, then the dynamic of all the trajectory that's not going to the corners, so it's all the trajectory that remain outside the corner, has dominated splitting with one direction of contraction and one direction F that could be neutral, as in the case that happened here. Yeah? No, yeah, if you have a curvature smaller, more than or equal than zero, then you have this structure of dominated splitting, which is this direction is a direction of contraction, and this direction depends the case. It could be like a normal hyperbolic situation. This appear like an invariant closed curve, and the dynamic is remains inside the curve, and everything is attracted, or you have some kind of expanding attractor like this. So this is the expanding attractor. This is the case that the contraction is lambda. This lambda we will consider there is equal to zero. And then you take lambda close to zero, and you will have a two-dimensional hyperbolic attractor with one direction of expansion and one direction of contraction. Okay. So another context where the dominated splitting appears the problem again is like in all the situation is try to get a better theorem that allows to understand what is the dynamic of a system that has dominated splitting. Well, this situation is two-dimensional, but in the example that we were considering before, in the case of the C1 robust transitive system, or in this case, in particular, could be higher dimensional, so it's necessary to have better result in a way to extract information for the system that has dominated splitting. So the last case I would like to consider is we consider map from C by C itself. And the map that we will consider is some kind of product or Blasch product. So typically it will be system like this, where each of these elements is a Blasch factor. Blasch factor. Okay? So it will be system on the following. Well, we have to put on this variable. How do you put? Okay? So, and obviously with this element is smaller than one. Okay, this is a kind of, so it's like the two-dimensional situation which this element are Blasch factor, and so you have this complex dynamic here, and this complex dynamic have the property that the disk remain invariant. So you take d by d, so this goes inside to itself. So you have this is C1Z and this is the other C. You have this for one and the other. So this product to this go inside. And in particular, I have the property that you consider the Shiloh boundary. So this is 1 minus 1 to 2. It goes, is remaining invariant. Here you have a T2, and the dynamic there is invariant. Okay? So, let's suppose that F is a diffeomorphism on this T2, on this boundary. An easy example of this, the most easy example of this, is the Anosov map. So you have the Anosov map on this way. Okay, so you will have this is exactly an awesome map when you restrict the dynamic here on T2. Here you're writing, you look only the angular coordinate and the behavior of the angular coordinate, exactly this one. So where theta is the angular coordinate of C and phi is the angular coordinate of W. Well, so if you suppose that the dynamic is, if you suppose that the system, this Blasch product, this product of Blasch factors here, is a diffeomorphic on T2, the general way to write it down is the following. We have two Blasch factors. So the dynamic is like this. Okay? So you have A1, A2, this is our Blasch factor, B is our Blasch factor, this one is the same as this, and you have this. If this is non-trivial, meaning that this is not 1, what happened again, restricted to T2, the dynamic has a dominator splitting. Again, you have over this T2, so you take F, restricted to T2, again, it's possible to show that you have a dominator splitting. You have one direction of one complex direction, another complex direction, and the relation of domination. The way to prove that is basically to write this in terms of polar coordinate, and then you see that this, when you write the derivative in terms of polar coordinate, they have some kind of confield property, and then you show that they have dominator splitting. Okay, so what happened with the dynamic? So the idea is, what can we say for the dominator splitting, in particular this one that you have there? In general, it's possible to say something about dominator splitting in dimension 2. So it's possible to say something of system that have dominator splitting in dimension 2. You have a system invariant set, which is T2 at least, and this set is invariant, of course, and they have dominator splitting in two, composed in two directions. I suppose by the moment that lambda all the periodic points are hyperbolic, it's Kupka-Smail if you want. Then what happened that lambda, Kupka-Smail, to make it easy, lambda can be decomposed in a finite number of sets . This one are hyperbolic sets. This, all the sets are disjoint, they are hyperbolic sets. And this one are normally hyperbolic invariant curves. So what happened with dominator splitting in dimension 2, and if you have sinus smoothness, well, basically you have two parts of the dynamic. One that is hyperbolic, and one to have this invariant curve, which are normally hyperbolic, and the dynamic inside the curve. Well, we have to suppose that lambda is in the limit set. Okay? So then, these are hyperbolic, and this dynamic, these curves are periodic. So you have a finite number of curves which are periodic, and the dynamic inside this curve is conjugated to an irrational rotation. So, you try to see, well, in this situation here, in this situation, you have this dominator splitting inside this torus, which is the product of these two boundaries, and basically these torus are the point that does not go to infinity for positive or backward iterations. So remember exactly the torus. And then, well, you could have the situation. So what happens there is dynamic on the torus. So it could have, it could be an Ossoff. That means, at first you show that if this factor is non-trivial, this is the case that we are supposing that it has dominated splitting. So in particular, it's easy to show that this curve in this situation does not exist. So you have the system, it could be, so only could be hyperbolic set, but the hyperbolic set, it could be one sink, one repeller, it could be, or a finite number of sink or repeller. Sinks are attracting periodic point, repeller are repairing periodic point, or there, if there are not sinks and no repellers in this composition, if they are not, how do you say, attracting periodic point in this composition, then are not repairing periodic point in this composition, that the system is anisotropic. Or you have, you can go a little bit further, and you will have one hyperbolic attractor, non-trivial, which basically is dA, and one repeller, one hyperbolic attractor, and here is one hyperbolic, one fixed hyperbolic point, one fixed attracting point, and it's so complicated. So one fixed attracting point, well, I don't know why they move it up. So one fixed attracting point and a hyperbolic set. So it's a typical argument of normal family attracting region that then you show that if there are attracting periodic points, this attracting periodic point have to be only one and it's fixed. And so the only situation that you have is this dynamic is anisotropic, or this dynamic have a hyperbolic set, typically like a horseshoe, and one attracting, only one attracting fixed point. And in fact, if you take this dynamic, and then you put parameter here, so you, which is a parameter, mu and v, and this is rotations. So you start to rotate, so mu is an element, well, it's 1, and B is an element of 1, so it's just rotation, so it's a comp, well, yeah, so it's mu is in C, and mu is equal to 1, the same with B. So you are rotating this dynamic with this parameter, then it's possible to show that all the time the first situation happens. So at one point, you have this, it's like in the one-dimensional situation. So, but now this two-dimensional situation, if you start to rotate the dynamic, which is this is a natural value to rotate, natural will appear at one open set of parameters, the anisotropic situation. So only the, I don't know if this has some meaning or if possible to generalize in a little bit more general situation than for two-dimensional complex dynamics. Well, yeah. It could be, it goes through bifurcation. They have some, because suppose I scoop Kessmel. So when you move one situation to the other situation, you are going to the derived of an also situation. That means you are going through a bifurcation. And the bifurcation is typically this. You have this situation like this, and this periodic point goes through a sudden no bifurcation. It's generically hyperbolic. And then you have an open set of parameters that the anisotropic situation happens, and then this parameter, when you move it, goes through a sudden situation, typically the derived of anisotropy.
So, but the point is
you use the dominated splitting, and then you use the result. The generic dominated splitting implies that the dynamic can be decomposed in a finite number of normally hyperbolic curves and hyperbolic sets. Then you show that the curve does not exist. And then you have the hyperbolic. And then you show that if there is an attracting fixed point, if there is a fixed point which is attracting, then you show that this, no, that you have a periodic point that is attracting, then you have to, you show that there is only one attracting fixed point. So if there is not attracting fixed point, then they have to be in another situation. Well, the same for the repeller, no? Yeah, basically this is the situation. But you use this result.
And how do we see that there is dominated?
Yeah, in the basically here to show that it's dominated splitting, you write the dynamic in polar coordinate, and then basically when you write the dynamic in polar coordinate, you take, so you are restricting here. Now you are restricting to z equal 1, w equal 1. Okay? So that only matters the angular coordinate. And the angular coordinate right in there basically is mapped like this. And the second coordinate is, which is this, are the angular coordinates. So this is the angular coordinate of each of these batch products. And then when you take the derivative, and the derivative is this.
Each
one of these elements is a batch factor. Yeah. Well, the second derivative here is g, and here is, well, f2, 9g. And well, the derivative of each one is larger than 1. No, it's larger than 0. It's not, it's the derivative of this angular coordinate of this element, larger than 0, and the same in the other. And then you look to the matrix, and this is a positive matrix. If this is a positive matrix, then you have like a confield situation in the angular coordinate. But the radial coordinate doesn't matter because you are looking exactly on this point. And then you have dominated split on teacher. And then you are in a two-dimensional, a real two-dimensional situation. And so then you apply this result. I stop here.